This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it is Tuesday, the 24th of November. My name is Audrey Raj, and joining me in the studio this morning is the lovely Wong Xiaoning. Good morning.
Good morning, Audrey. Are you like 4 hours early?
Something like that. I woke up, at 3 a.m. and thought, hey, why don't I just join you on the morning run? Also joining us later on will be Lin Mark. We're having a little bit of difficulties with Zoom this morning. I think it's having trouble waking up. But of course, we have some interesting stories lined up for the rest of the day, don't we?
We do. I mean, of course, we're going to look through the headlines later on the newspapers at 6:45. Other news that interests me, of course, is the first woman, possibly the first woman to be the treasury to head the treasury in the U.S. So that's something different.
Yep.
And it's going to be Janet Yellen, who used to be Fed chair once upon a time. So I think it's going to be, for once, maybe there might be some good news on the economics front in the U.S. But immediately after this, I think we're going to have an interesting chat about who would be your ideal dinner party guest.
Yeah, and I think we've got a couple of interesting names already lined up for this discussion.
And what would you cook? That is my next question.
Oh, okay, that's something I'm going to have to think about. But yes, we're asking you to get in touch with us as well and tell us, who would you invite to a fantasy dinner? Are we limiting it to dead or alive, or, you know, is anyone
for me? I'm limiting it to the living, because otherwise the list would just be like a never-ending list, right?
But it would be interesting though, right? Imagine, yeah, Elvis at the dinner table.
Well, you could would definitely be moving and singing and dancing already, right?
Yes, definitely. Get in touch with us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Taking us into that story, of course, is going to be Moondance by Van Morrison. This is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. That was Van Morrison with Moondance. You're listening to The Morning Run. It is a wet Tuesday morning, the 24th of November. If you're wondering who this is Audrey Raj. She came in a little early to work today.
And very early. Thank you, Audrey.
And joining me on the show is Wong Xiaoning. Now, before the lovely song by Van Morrison, we were talking about this fantasy dinner. We found an article on FT.com about Janine Gibson's fantasy dinner. And she said she would have Rupert Murdoch, Oprah Winfrey in a murder mystery kind of dinner party setup. And you know what it's like now during the CMCO, right? We're limited to the amount of guests that we can have. We're not allowed to have guests, right?
Yeah, we're not supposed to celebrate anything, sadly. So no birthdays, no parties. I think even all the recent festivals like Deepavali and Hari Raya were very muted, I think, for everyone. Yeah. And I'm thinking about Christmas, which is coming up in a month's time, right? Mm. How are we going to celebrate it? And actually, I was just telling my mom, we normally have guests of about 30 people. And I don't want...
On Christmas Day?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve. And I don't want them to think that we're not thinking of them, because we have the same people every year. So what I've decided is I'm just going to cook it, and I'm going to pack it, and I'm going to deliver it.
Right. Do you have my address? I will send it to you later on.
But good one, Audrey. Slip it in.
Yes, no, hint, hint. But we're asking you today, if you could have a fantasy dinner party, who would be on that list? You know, we're going to limit this to just three guests.
Yeah.
So who would be on your list, Xiaoning?
Well, I've got a very strange bunch of people. They're obviously kind of my... Two are my role models, and one I don't like so much, but I'm just curious what's in his mind, if at all there's anything. So my three guests, number one would be Bill Gates.
Okay.
Okay, I'm curious.
You're hoping he'll pay for dinner, or are you going to cook?
Pay for dinner? He can pay for my house, for my dinner, and everyone else's house, and have spare change. But I think I would like to have him for dinner because, you know, of course, he's famous for starting Microsoft, right? But how he appears so normal makes me wonder, right? You look at him, you know, he doesn't have the flash of a normal billionaire. No sports cars, no fancy jets. He seems to live a very humdrum life in Seattle. You know, and the other thing that I find fascinating is that he decided very early on to give away the bulk of his money, yeah, right? He's got this Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Which does a lot of great work. And even before COVID-19, spent a lot of their money on immunization, especially children's health and all that. So I would like to get behind that mind, like what drove him to start Microsoft? Because he must be such a convicted person. I mean, as in he's got conviction, right? This product will work, Windows will work, and it will dominate the world. And after that, decide to walk away from the company because he doesn't run it anymore and just focus on charity. Mm. So that's guest number one.
Okay.
Guest number two is Simon Sharma. You're like, who?
Yes, please explain.
He's a famous historian. He writes regularly in the Financial Times. I just like the tone of his books. And he comes across as, okay, I've got this thing for very highly intelligent men who can remember every single day. Highly intelligent people, full stop. And I would like him to be at the dinner party because he can talk about almost any topic under the sun from like the beginning of time to today. And if you read his regular columns in the FT, it's just a combination of wit and intelligence. So I would like him to be there to provide that kind of intellectual stimulation. And then the final guy, this is the odd one, it's actually Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. You're putting Donald Trump, a historian, and Bill Gates in this at the same dinner table.
They probably all hate each other because I know Simon Sharma's written not very complimentary things, and I don't think Bill Gates. Yeah, well, enough said. But I'm just curious. This is the man that, I mean, what drives this man, right?
Okay,
I'm not sure we would have anything to say because he might just dominate the whole dinner party.
So here I am thinking, like, how is Shaunin going to squeeze a word in, you know, at this dinner table? Unless you're
treating it like a breakfast grill.
Yeah, unless you're planning to cook something spectacular and then have them just, you know, have their mouths full throughout the meal and then you can get a word in.
I'm not sure because apparently Donald Trump only eats McDonald's. But never mind.
Easy.
Easy, just call, right? Yeah. But yeah, I would like this funny combination.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite a funny combination. Like if you think about my combination, you're going for complete substance. I'm going for complete entertainment.
Okay, so who would your guest be?
Okay, so you know I'm a sport.
Yes,
right?
You're a football fan.
Yeah, so of course I would have Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp because he's a riot, and I can just imagine it.
I don't
being
even know who he is. Please, you can like scold me later.
Yeah, so you know yesterday you're having this conversation about top of the table with Roe and Chuang and all. Yeah, so Liverpool is one of the top performing clubs in the English league right now, and he is their manager, Jurgen Klopp. German guy, but he's a real riot if you watch his press conferences. I would also like Novak Djokovic to be on because he's another joker,
okay,
and he's
okay,
also
okay.
known as the joker on the tennis scene.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would like Novak Djokovic to be at the table as well. And finally, Elton John.
Because
right after dinner, he can serenade us. You know, I'm hoping
that's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting mix, but also I'm just wondering, right, if you had like Gary Vee at the dinner table together with Donald Trump, what would that be like?
I don't know. It would be insane.
All right. Our producer on the show today, Diana, says that she would like just Taylor Swift at the dinner table. So, but tell us, who would you like at a fantasy dinner date or at your fantasy dinner table? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Up next, we have some messages and we'll come back to a story about how Germany has agreed to a mandatory quota for female executives. This is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Shakedown Street by Unknown Mortal Orchestra. It is 6:19 a.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of November. My name is Audrey Raj. I'm with Wong Shaoning this morning on The Morning Run. How many times did I say morning already?
A few times.
A couple of times.
Yeah. We should start collecting 10 cents for every time you say it. By the end of the day, we could have a little snack.
Yes. Or we could actually have that fantasy dinner, right?
A cheap one.
Some feedback that has already come in for that question. Who would you have at a fantasy dinner date? We've got Roshan, who says he wants Dave Chappelle, Hassan Minhaj and AOC. Lin Mark says Obama's new memoirs has got her wanting Barack Obama at the dinner table. And I think we have more feedback.
Yeah, we have a fan of yours, Audrey Rowe, who thought he overslept too. He overslept because he was like, is this her? And we are like, yes, it is her. It is Audrey.
Just a couple of hours early.
Yeah, just a couple of hours early. And he would like to have Jolo and Nigella Lawson for dinner. Nigella to prepare the dessert. And then Jolo, he wants to turn in later for the reward. Smart,
right?
Yeah, very smart.
All right, you know, you can still get in touch with us and tell us whom you would like at your fantasy dinner table. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter. Moving on, we promised, we have a story about how Germany has agreed to a mandatory quota for female executives. Now, this deal is being called a historic breakthrough. The agreement, of course, will see a mandatory quota for women in the senior management of listed German companies in a move that has been hailed as a big step on the road to sexual equality in the German workplace.
Well, we have something similar, but it's not mandatory. It's encouraged, right? So it's the 30% club, I think that's what they call it, on Bursa Malaysia. And actually, when I compare the data, we've done okay, but I think we could do a lot better. So I think the latest data comes out is that we have got like 17% of women on Bursa Malaysia. And unfortunately, there's still, I'm going to shame them, 248 companies who have no women representation.
Right, but I think in the...
Why?
But the top 100 PLCs in Malaysia, there are no all-male board members, right?
Yes, these are just 248 of them guilty of, you know, seemingly can't find a single woman, and I don't understand why. I mean, we're lots of qualified women out there. But if we look globally, US has 28.6%, Sweden has 24.9%, and the UK is 24.5%. Now, I'm just curious, do you think it should be made mandatory or should it be encouraged? And what more could we do to get more women on boards? I know we have this ICDM, which we've had on the Breakfast Grill, and then they are somewhat funded by the SC, if I remember, and Bursa, but they're independent, and what they try to do is encourage not just women, but also just diversity on boards. So it's not just related to the sex, but it's also like your age, your experience. Because what they don't want is cookie cutter boards. Like the whole boards being of the same skill set, all accountants, all men, you know. Then there's the conversations or the direction that the company goes to would be very like one-sided.
Right.
So I think now the question is, how do we get different representations? And I think that's an interesting conversation. But should it be driven by a fixed quota or a legally mandated quota?
Now, I think ideally it would be encouraged. You know, you don't have to make anything mandatory. But with Germany, I think they said that a survey found that German C-suites have become even more male-dominated in recent months, and that's why they decided to make this move. Women make up about only 12.8% of the management boards in German companies listed on the DAX, right? And I think this is why they decided that they really had to step in and make this rule a mandatory one.
Yeah, I find it kind of strange. Actually, I had this preconceived notion that there would be more equality in a European country, especially Germany. I don't know why. Maybe that's wrong, right? I mean, there's a wrong notion of mine. So that kind of surprises me. And I wonder why women in Germany don't rise to the top. You would think that they are extremely well educated. Look, after all, they have a prime minister, right? Angela Merkel. She's a woman. She's been there, what, for almost 15 years? And till recently, she was like considered the leader, the second leader of the free world, because the first leader was absent for the last 4 years or was busy doing other things. And she seemed to be so in charge. You know, and then, of course, we've got that Arden in New
Jacinda
Zealand.
Arden?
Yeah, Jacinda Arden. Her first name slipped my mind. Another very capable woman. So you have these great leaders, women, coming to the forefront. But why aren't they, rising in the corporate world? That's right. Always the question.
Okay, we also can, put that question to Malaysian PLCs as well, right? You know, considering we're at, 17% for the 900-plus PLCs in Malaysia?
Yeah. This is not just, I think, a question that needs to be addressed at the board level, but even at the senior management level, at every level, right? And are companies doing enough to encourage women? Because the reality is, if you're a woman and you're married and you have children, you do need to take time off. You know, you have maternity leave, and when your kids are sick, and during this MCO, when last minute schools are closed, ultimately, who is the one that stays at home? Very often, let's be honest, it's the women,
It's the mom, yeah.
Yeah. So do companies in Malaysia encourage this, that you can take the breaks that you need, to attend to your family, but then you can come back to the working life easily. There's no disruption. And you're not penalized for it. You're not taken, you're not like, oh, what to do, la? You know, this is a woman. And that's the last thing you want a corporate to say, right?
Exactly. And also give allowances for the men to do the same at home as well. That will allow the woman to, be able to come back to the workforce quicker and, have more peace of mind when they're at work as well, right?
Yeah, that's why one interesting solution is perhaps not to have maternity leave, but to have joint leave.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter, right, whether it's the man or woman who takes it, they're both entitled to it.
Right. All right. We have a little bit of Bruce Springsteen taking us into the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin. When we come back, more headlines. This is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. 6:39 a.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of November. You are listening to The Morning Run. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me in the studio is Wong Xiaoning. And finally, Zoom has woken up, and Lin Ma is joining us just in time to discuss U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's announcement of his picks for senior roles in his cabinet. Lin Ma, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Loud and
it's
clear.
It's so good to finally be actually able to hear and speak to you guys. Hey, you know, it's an Audrey Raj on The Morning Run. It's a very unusual days indeed.
Yes, and we're about to dive into, I think pretty much most of the headlines that we have, for this part of the show, of course, is from the U.S. and with a U.S. president-elect Joe Biden announcing, you know, mm-hmm. some of his, well, it looks like familiar faces to him, like some of his friends as is in the senior roles of his cabinet picks, right?
Yeah, not surprising, right? Considering this is literally his second time in the White House, albeit now he's president. In the previous role, he was vice president. So the names are not unfamiliar, I think, to any Democrat or anyone who's followed Biden's career. So he's picked, for example, his longtime aide, Antony Blinken. He's Secretary of State. Jake Sullivan is also his longtime advisor, is tapped to be the post of the White House National Security Advisor. Former Secretary of State John Kerry will make a reappearance as the special presidential envoy for climate, which is important because we know Trump quickly departed from the Paris Climate Treaty, and now they're back again, thank goodness. And additionally, Biden has also announced Avril Haines as the Director of National Intelligence. Now, this is important because this is the first woman named to the post. Who else did he nominate?
Yes, yeah, so there are some other names like Alejandro Mayorkas, who's the Secretary of Homeland Security, the first Latino and immigrant to hold the post. Linda Thomas-Greenfield is going to be said to be the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. She's a longtime diplomat. But Biden is also reportedly planning to nominate former Fed Chairman Janet Yellen for the post of Secretary of Treasury. So she would be the first woman and as well as a seasoned central banker for the nation's top economic policy job. So she's seen as a choice that would garner support from both Wall Street as well as progressives.
Yeah, and Yellen is seen as a choice that would, like you just said, you know, garner support from Wall Street and the progressive. She has a reputation as a dove when it comes to monetary policy because of a focus on reducing unemployment. And during her time as Fed chair, tech stocks doubled, even as she presided over the first interest rate increase in, what, at that time, 11 years.
Yeah, this is quite an unusual nomination, of course, because she's a woman and because she was Fed chair. But maybe for once, I think what will happen is that the monetary policy and the fiscal policy of which she will be in charge of if she gets that role, because basically what news wires are saying is that it's a source story. It's not 100% confirmed that she's in that post. But for once, monetary and fiscal policy might be in sync. And it might work better because she understands how monetary policy works, and she can kind of cater the fiscal policy so that both engines of growth are pushing the U.S. economy forward, considering that, yeah, it's COVID-19, right? It's a financial crisis for all global economies, especially the U.S. And now when we look at the headline unemployment rates in the U.S., 8%, I think Janet Yellen's focus will really be bringing that unemployment rate down to what it was when pre-COVID-19 levels, which was, I think, all-time low, around 4%. She has quite a difficult task ahead, though, because bear in mind, the Senate is still a red one. Mm-hmm. It's not a blue one yet, right? We will only know, I think, come December and January when the two last Senate races in Georgia are being held. So she might face some opposition getting through her stimulus package. But I think she understands how the political system works, and that's going to make a big difference. What else did you notice, Lin?
Yeah, no, I think the fact is that if Janet Yellen is confirmed confirmed by the Senate, she will have, I mean, the first thing on her plate is going to be trying to push through that fiscal stimulus package that everyone's been talking about, right? And hopefully, as you say, Xiaoning, her understanding of the limits of monetary policy and the role that fiscal policy needs to play will actually help to smooth over the very partisan divide that we've seen so far in the U.S. But it's a bit of it's a bit of a question mark over how big the stimulus package is going to be at the end of the day.
Yeah, but what was interesting is I listened to some of the commentators this morning, and they described her as a little firecracker because she's like tiny, right? I think she's only like 5 feet, a bit like me, small size, and she looks like a grandmother.
Fun size. She's 74 years old.
Yeah, she's 74 years old. She looks a little bit like a grandmother with her white hair, but apparently she is one super sharp woman. So you know, don't underestimate her. I think it's going to be interesting to watch her in her role. And what does that mean for economic policy for the US? And it's something we're going to be asking our World Market Watch commentator later on, is to whether there'll be really be a change in terms of the US economic direction. Interesting stuff, I think. Interesting times ahead.
Yeah. And while Biden is making preparations to move into the White House, Trump
is he willing to give over the key, hand over the key though?
Well, he's doing all he can to cement his policies before he leaves, in the event that he has to leave. But we'll, you know, try and come back to that story and more headlines from the newspapers as well as online in just a few minutes after these messages. This is The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. 6:50 a.m. on Tuesday, the 24th of November. You are listening to The Morning Run. That was a bit of Pat Benatar with All Fired Up. Wong Xiaoning is in the studio with me. Lin Ma is joining us via Zoom. This is Audrey Raj, just Sebo King on The Morning Run. And looking at the headlines on the papers today.
Yeah, I think first off, I have the Star in front of me. And I'm just going to skip some of the main headlines and look at some of the other stories out there. And I'm actually going to turn to page 6. And actually, it's about the PLUS concession, because, you know, we're all about business here. And apparently, the PLUS concession has not been finalized yet, the extension. It's supposed to be extended till 2058, has yet to be finalized, because he says there are many, the minister, Deputy Works Minister, Dato' Edin Shazli, she said that there are many sensitive issues still being considered, including toll rates, concession period, the government and Rakyat's debts, as well as the responsibility of the concessionaire. I think this is quite interesting. I'm like, what's happening behind the scenes? Because we know PLUS is the largest highway concession in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And originally, the former Prime Minister did say that PLUS would be given a 20-year extension of its toll concession. So I wonder what's happening behind the scenes. Partially because, you know, we are facing some fiscal headwinds and we'd probably want more for the concession. But how much more will we get? So interesting stuff here.
Looking at the front pages of some of the other newspapers, the Malaysian Reserve has UiTM reassesses 600 part-time lecturers after funding cut. There's also the story about 28 top glove factories to close in stages. Looking at the NST, the main headline is CMCO effective? There's also a smaller headline, anticipation builds ahead of crucial 2021 budget vote on Thursday. Both stories of which we will be covering later on in the show.
Yeah, I think the Top Glove one might have market ramifications. After all, Top Glove is the world's largest glove manufacturer in the world. So what we do know is that I think yesterday, the Ministry of Health announced that there are a total of 1,067 positive cases among their workers. So MKN, the ministry, is looking to cease operations of Top Glove factories in stages to enable COVID-19 testing as well as a quarantine to be done. And what we know is that these Klang factories contribute up to 50% of the group's total capacity. So we are talking about 90 billion pieces here. Ooh. Now, at the moment, apparently they're running at 20 to 30% utilization rate. Now, the news came out after market closed. I think the news came out around 5:40 p.m. So I'm really curious at 9 a.m. what will the impact be on the share price. Lin, what else do you have in the headlines?
So I'm also looking at the CEO Morning Brief, and the front page here also has the Top Glove story, but it also has a comment from the IRB CEO saying that the government should consider introducing a capital gains tax instead of the inheritance tax. So this is a bit of an interesting comment that's, I think, the main story in the CEO Morning Brief this morning. I'm also looking at the Malay Mail, and they are asking the question here of whether or not Bajuang will actually managed to be the kingmaker in GE15. So they've gone and asked a couple of analysts and pundits and say that it really depends on how many what are the actual numbers that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim actually do have in their back pockets.
Yeah, and I've got the going back to the Star on page 8 now. There's this interesting story. Remember yesterday, I think there was headlines about the immigration officers that have been charged for producing passports, right, at airports and stuff like that. Well, apparently one of them, Rolls-Royce, let's call him Rolls-Royce immigration officer, that's what the Star calls him, has a criminal past. And he's also believed to be part of a secret society, which begs the question the MACC is asking. How can someone with a criminal record be employed in the civil service?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fine, if you didn't have one and then you went into the immigration and then ended up with criminal charges, then of course you'd be sacked, right? But if you already have a record, isn't there some due diligence process before you're appointed to government positions? I'm just curious what the process is like there. There seems to be obviously some gaps when it comes to things like this. But related to your story, Lynn, about taxes, right? I think if I'm not wrong, MOF is considering a special committee to relook at GST.
Remember that we will be covering later today or maybe tomorrow?
Tomorrow. We're definitely going to talk about this. I think there is a wider discussion on whether we need to reform Malaysia's taxation system because it seems to be too narrow a base. And taxes as a percentage of GDP is far lower than our neighbours like in Singapore or even Korea. If I'm not wrong, at the top of my head, it's around 12-13% and they are like 18-19%. Plus, we've always had this discussion about the grey economy, right? How big is this grey economy? And GST taxes consumption. So there's some capturing of this grey economy. But of course, it proved to be deeply unpopular and something that the previous government removed. But whether we need to relook at it, whether it's a fairer taxation system, and maybe how it was announced and the level of it might differ this time around.
Is this something that can take effect immediately? Because would have been something that would have been discussed in the budget, right?
No, this budget round, it wasn't discussed, but it is quite a huge task. I think a lot of corporates were complaining when they were first implemented because they had to change everything, and now they might have to change it again.
Right. Okay. We're going to, I think, move on to the 7 a.m. news bulletin. Taking us into the news bulletin, we've got to Get You Into My Life by The Beatles. You're listening to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.